What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that's willing to fire an automatic weapon at a rabbit in order to figure out what makes a particular topic so great. My name's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well. And you, Terry?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Now, Andy,
yeah?
In that little intro I did there,
yeah?
You may have noticed a vague and oblique reference to the fact that we'll be covering 1993's Cliffhanger, starring Sylvester Stallone as part of our Sylvester Stallone miniseries.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to address the
elephant on your hand.
Oh, boy.
Just wanted to show the camera there.
Oh,
look at this.
Look at this shit.
Wearing a... It looks like an oven mitt.
Oh, it feels like an oven mitt.
What happened, T?
Okay, so Paddy's weekend. We had a lovely weekend. You and our friend Andy Ryan came down for a visit the Saturday night.
Games night was brilliant.
It was so good. Yeah. First, you know what? Hold on. Let me just
crack. Do you want me to crack that for you?
Oh, I got,
you got it.
I got it. I can do it myself.
Okay, we'll just. He's got his eyes closed. He's drinking it.
Ah.
Just filling the void there.
Because I'm not on my commute every day. I'm not getting my fix of Lucozade. All I got is
that'll hurt you.
Coke Zero at home, and it's fine. But no, I was good.
You miss your commute. Now, question before you even start: do you miss your commute?
I haven't been. Not this week.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
Please. So then we had a lovely Paddy's Day. Brought Bonnie down to see the parade that goes through the village on the Sunday, and that was nice. I didn't think she was enjoying it, to be honest, because it was a lot of people.
Yeah.
Therefore, and she's not super into crowds. But then as we were leaving, she was like, oh, that was really nice that we got to see the people in the cars. And I was like, yeah,
sure was, kiddo.
Yeah. That was nice. And then Monday, we had a nice day. Went to the Botanical Gardens, and it was lovely. And just Monday evening, you know, 8:30, cleaning up the kitchen, everything done. Excuse me. One last job to do before I go in and fold a bit of laundry and watch...
This is it.
Whatever, Love is Blind or Married at First Sight with Faye.
Yeah.
And there was a Dingle gin glass there that hadn't even been used for gin. I'd used it for cordial earlier on because the dishwasher was on. It was full and all the pint glasses.
Classic.
And that fell over. I knocked it over and I went to grab it and it smashed into a bunch of pieces. But obviously, whatever way that glass is,
yeah,
a big, huge piece. Jumped up and sliced all down. I mean, I can show you there. This is the opposite side. So, like, the pinky side of your hand. And it would not stop bleeding. It was...
God.
I was like, oh, that's big. And I was, like, running under the tap, like, that's not going to stop. Like, it was like...
So, like, at the start, were you thinking, like, oh, just got to run that under the tap?
No,
and,
no, I was like... this is after about 5 to 10 seconds, I was like, hey! Kids are asleep. And I was like, I'm going to wake them. But, like, I have to. And, like... I do something I don't normally do when I'm, like, doing stuff in the kitchen. I had my headphones in for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Listen to a podcast. Normally, I would just have it on sans headphones. But I had them in, and I was like, do-do-do-do-do, puttering around. And so I could tell I was probably louder than I would have been calling out. So we tried, like, tying a tourniquet. Like, you know, try cloth. What do you call them? Muslin cloths around them. And that... for a little bit stopped it, but seeping through, so we had to make a decision to go to the hospital.
It's terrible, isn't it, when you make that decision, like, right, fuck,
there's no,
we have to go to the hospital.
So we drove an hour down,
serious,
we drove an hour to Wexford General, bleeding all the way.
Oh,
at one point
Christ.
I was like, oh, this is actually grand, it's not really sore. And then at one point it was like my body was like, hey, wait a minute, how am I supposed to be doing something? It's like, and I'm just like a big surge of like, ah, and like I hadn't moved around. It's just like loads of blood. It's just like a surge. It's like somebody was like, we're getting a little bit backed up here. Like, gotta get that blood out. Hold on, like,
some dam got burst.
Yeah, just like, hey, should we not be moving this blood along? Oh yeah, you're right. Like,
the right arm hasn't taken it in 10 minutes.
So my clothes were covered in blood.
Fucking hell.
Thankfully, the car seat wasn't too bad. But when I got into Wexford General, this is at about 10:30 at night, I was like, I was feeling kind of fine. I was kind of thinking, like, how much blood is too much blood to lose, you know?
Yeah.
And then we got in there, and people were like, you're bleeding? Like, because it was, like, dripping on the
Am
floor.
I?
I was like, what? And then it was, like, only, like, the bright lights and, like, people, like, looking at me. And, like, we didn't know where to go. That, I was like, oh, I'm starting to feel faint.
You were disoriented.
I didn't feel faint at all. And then somebody, like, it happened very quickly. They, like, popped me in a wheelchair and, like, brought me down nice. The way. And they're like, you're really white. I'm like, am I? And then they just started, like,
racist. Something like that.
They then just had to, like, sew up my tendon in there to stop the bleeding. Eesh. And, like, medicine is crazy. Like, I mean, this is the most reductive
Please.
Of hot takes there ever was.
But medicine,
like,
works.
Yeah. But it's just like, I'm just going to do something to your hand now and it's going to burn, but then you'll be fine. And I'm like, okay. And then it was like, I was like, and then I was like, I can't feel anything. It was like lidocaine or whatever like that, like, or Novocaine or one of these, you know, numbing agents. And then she was just like, then free to, like, cut and sew away. And I was like, okay.
What is Novocaine?
It's a numbing thing. For
I
your,
thought you'd take it.
No, they inject it into your gums and shit, like, for your teeth.
Okay.
And I think lidocaine is kind of something similar. Oh. So, like, they did that, and then I was like, oh.
Right.
And they didn't have to give me blood, which is good. And I was kind of, like, asking questions, like, say I didn't come here, like, what would have happened? It's like, well, it wasn't going to stop bleeding itself. So you would have passed out and, like, and died probably, like, from blood loss. I was like, cool.
God.
Yeah.
Isn't
so
terrible.
Yeah, it really is. Like, so I text you at whatever fucking stupid o'clock because they were saying you should have went to Vincent's. We had to make the call to go to Wexford or Vincent's. And I was like, well, if we go to Vincent's, I could tell them I work there. And then it was like, but there'd be less people in Wexford. There's fucking Wexford is packed anyway. Like,
yeah, so, fucking.
I thought they were really good. Okay. Now I have to say they, okay. except for the radiologist who I told you was a prick.
Oh yeah,
I had to go get my hand x-rayed, and he was not impressed that I was brought there. And the guy, the porter, was like, "The doctor told me, she said, you know, he's like, I didn't like, but I heard her on the phone to somebody in radiology.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This guy's just a fucking arsehole. But God, he was like, okay, just he's like, how'd you cut your hand? I was like, cut it on glass. What kind of glass? There's loads of different types of glass. I was like, washing a glass. I'm like, give me a break.
I've lost
a lot of blood, man. Like, and then he was like, just over there to your left. And I was like, okay. And, like, I got up to, like, scooch and, like, sit. And he's like, don't sit up. Just move over to your left there. And I was like, right, okay. And then he took
this
scan.
The
and, I was like, if he says one more thing, I'm going to be like, I'm sorry, if I offended you?
Yeah.
Like, what's the story here, man?
I'm sorry you're having such a bad day, sir.
Yeah. Then I was brought back, and they basically said I had to go to Vincent's at like 7:30 the next morning. So I was like texting you at whatever, 12:30, being like, hope you see these messages.
You know what? I had the, because when I was literally waking up, like my eyes were literally like that, and I'm just opening my phone. I seen a message. I just see all the messages from you. And then I seen you were online, and I was thinking, like, because you were asking, like, oh, can I drop you up to Vincent? And I was like, he's probably been looking at his phone for ages waiting for me to wake up to see if the lift is on.
No, we
like,
woke. I had the alarm set for 5:20. I got home at 2:00. I had the alarm set for 5:20 to be like, if we don't hear from, like, I was like, reasonable that Andy be awake at 6:00.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't hear from 6:00, we'll have to make the call and, like, pack up the kids in their jammies and be like, we're going on an adventure. I'm sure it would end screams and where's my breakfast? So it was great that you were able to come pick me up. First thing you did when you saw me, burst out laughing because I had my hand in a bandage. You're like,
well, I would do anything for love, was
blaring. So but it was great because when I rang them to say I'm going to be late
because
traffic was fucking crazy. Somebody was like, yeah, hold on, I'll transfer. And it's like, they're not open yet. And this at like 7:15.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, great. And then when I got in there, it was fine. There was no like, where were you? Or anything like that. Like,
People were waiting, all the doctors with their utensils. Yeah. Like, come on.
Were they going to eat me?
Yeah.
One big juicy brain. So then I got in there and it was like, I was like, all right, so they'll just have to stitch me up.
Yeah, did you have to get stitches?
I don't know. They were like, we're going to have to put you under.
Oh,
and
I was like, don't even know what they did.
Yeah, I was like, okay, this is quick. And then I was like, so that was about 20 past half eight. By about 10 o'clock, I was in a bed. And they were like, okay, we'll be back in 15 minutes for surgery. And I was like, okay.
Great.
And then it was, you know, put under. It was really cool, though, like when I was, because I've been under. I don't know if you've had ever had GA before. Have you, like?
What's GA?
General anesthetic.
Like where they put you under?
Come on, Andrew.
I'm not a medical man, too.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, like, yeah.
But as an adult, like last time was like, when I was getting my endoscopy, my nasal sinus.
Look, you're throwing a lot of big words at me right now.
Septoplasty.
Okay, another one.
It was a different experience. This time it was like, I'd been talked to by like three or four different people. And then when I was in the operating theater, it was like, the surgeon was very cool. I felt in safe hands. And they were listening to like the type of music you'd hear in a cafe in Amsterdam.
Oh.
And they were all having the crack. And I was like, I actually feel really at ease now.
Maybe we can hang out after this.
Because they're like, you know, they say to you like 1 in 250,000 chance of death.
They say that?
Yeah, they have to say it. Then you have to sign the thing. Like So then, I woke up with this behemoth on my arm.
It's way bigger than I thought it was going to be.
It's huge. It's like a proper cast. You can like...
Wow. And you have it on like a sling when you came in and everything.
Yeah, I have it on a sling when I'm like... if I'm sitting home watching TV, I don't have it in the sling.
Yeah.
Unless my arm is sore. But when I'm traveling, when I'm in the car and stuff, you're supposed to have it in the sling.
What a pain in the fucking arse.
Like, wiping with my left hand is...
How's that?
Bad.
I say you can't get any purchase on it.
Not what I want, not what I want.
You don't trust what's on the tissue.
I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, no matter how much I wipe this arse, I'm like,
because you can't get in there.
I'm not super happy. Even though there's nothing coming... I'm like, yeah, but there's probably a crevice I'm missing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a little...
Yeah, I know my angles on this
yeah,
side.
Absolutely.
I don't know my angles
on
this
exactly.
side.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a pain, because I can't butter toast. You know, I couldn't put on my watch today. I was like, Faye, can you help me? If I want to get washed, I have to wrap this thing in a plastic bag.
Oh, what a headache.
And thankfully, I have the ensuite where it's like... And it has those shower doors. Yeah. So I can literally shower with my hand out the door. But again, I'm like not getting the purchase I want.
Can I be crass?
Coverage. Yeah.
Other things that you might have done with your
right. We're not going to go there. No.
We'll talk off, Mike.
Yeah, I can't even comb my hair. Like, I'm wearing a hat. You never see me wearing a hat recording.
Yeah, true. Although, I suppose,
Long time.
Hey, I've missed it. That's a good hat.
Yeah, I've had this hat.
Amsterdam?
I got it in Galway.
But you wore it in Amsterdam. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Louis van Gaal was managing Man United when I bought this hat. So, going on 10 years?
That been 10 years?
I'd say so. I think it was 2014, 2015.
And so you're off work then for...
Yeah, I have to go back to the hospital tomorrow to see. So they've already downgraded me to a different bandage, but I can't really anything. So I'd probably be off for another week or so.
You really...
You take it for granted.
I was going to say you really appreciate, well, not now, but when you get it back, you'd appreciate the act of just having two hands.
Yeah.
I can smush two things together if I want.
I'm like,
or whatever people do with two hands,
trying to brushing my teeth with my left hand. I'm like, first of all, getting the cap off the toothpaste. I have a thumb, so you know I can still.
Okay, you've got the opposable thumb.
I can still it's putting a strain on this thing here. Nerve damage apparently. So on my pinky. So
Jesus Christ!
It'll put a dampener on my FIFA performance. I'd say next time.
Good,
considering I won the games night.
We had a games night, and I was like, the first couple of
Andy raced out to a bit of a lead.
Yeah, and I was like, good, Terry's not winning straight away. This is the only bit, and then you found your flow after game two or three.
I mean, I played with United first,
yeah,
and it was a rookie mistake picking. United on your first go. I should have. I think my first win I got was when I played with Bayern.
Yeah.
And I should have started with a Bayern or a Madrid.
And then got comfortable and then worked your way down.
But I always forget.
Actually found it. I thought I wasn't going to like it because I played it for 5 minutes, the new FIFA, and I thought, this is so bad. But I realized I wasn't doing the sprint properly.
That's it. I was holding down the sprint for the whole first game.
But it was actually good. It was actually good sort of gameplay. Scored some cracking goals, if I may say.
Yeah.
Mm hmm. I like the fact that they give you, when I was Liverpool, because it was Nunes, I just press square, but instead of heading it, he does this elaborate scissor kick into the roof of the net. Like, oh, yes.
Stupid. That's stupid.
Oh, I tell you, I had an incident myself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You still got both hands, so you're doing all right.
Guess what it involves?
Car.
You know it.
Wham. Blew this, up?
Yeah, essentially.
Getting the bus home, are we?
No. No, my car's fine.
Blew up a different car.
One of my wheels exploded on the motorway.
Whoa! Okay,
that's the best way I can describe it. And I knew my wheels needed work because, like, if I took my hands off the wheel, which you're probably not supposed to do anyway.
Ever.
If I take my hands off the wheel, the car would just kind of veer to the left all the time. And I knew I'd pumped it up and it was kind of going down, so I knew there was something there. But anyway, I just got off. I just was getting onto the motorway, leaving Arklow for work. And I just hear, like, poof. Like, I went over one of those cat's eyes or whatever, and the thing was like, it just pulled over into the hard shoulder. I'm like, what's that, my tire? And I looked, it was like, there was nothing left. It wasn't just like the whole thing was like hanging off it. And so I called AA.
Have you got AA, yeah?
Thank God. I mean, my premium is through the roof because I call them so much. Starting out, it's like $7.99 a month. Now I'm paying like 40 quid a month because of all my
calls. Three Netflixes.
Yeah. They had to tell me last year, like, you know, there's a fair usage policy and you're one away before we start charging you more. So anyway, so I had to call. Right, what a headache this is, right? So I had to call AA. They always have to come from Dublin. So, like, there is no...
Is there none outside Dublin, no?
None. Every time I've called, there's been none. I have to wait for someone to come all the way down to Arklow to sort me out.
So it's an hour, like...
Yeah. And that's, like, you're spending about 25 minutes for them assigning you someone, and then they assign you someone. Anyway. So the guy came down, and to be fair, he was very nice. He put on the spare. He's like, do you have a spare? I was like, nope. Which I don't. And he put
I don't
on...
know if we do, I don't actually.
He put on that little whatever...
Hubcap?
No. Like the spare tire, basically, right?
All right, okay.
And but because it was a spare, he's like, now you can only go 80 kilometers an hour on this. He's like, I'd say Wicklow Town's the best spot, Wicklow Tire Center in Wicklow Town. So I was like, okay, so I'm driving on the motorway. He's like, I'll be right behind you. So the two of us are there chugging along on the motorway. I'm going no more than 80. He's behind me the whole time. I get into Wicklow, and then they change it. And then, like, I knew my other tire was bad as well. And your man's like, when he got it up on the thing, he's like, this thing's not much better as well. I was like, just change it. Just change both.
And is that covered by your AA, or do you have to pay for the tyres?
No, I pay for the tyres. Yeah. AA getting me to the garage was what I pay for. Because he needed his... Because I didn't know how it worked. He was like, because I'm going to need to take the tyre back. I was like, oh yeah, of course.
Oh, the spare back.
Yeah. And even when the guys in the garage saw my tyre that had blown out, I put it in the boot. And they took it. He was like, Jesus.
God, I love workmen, huh?
I know. Yeah. So then, yeah, then I got it sorted. But I was like, fuck. Like, it was a proper, Rocky. Like, when it blew, I was like, ugh. Like, my car was going, ugh. I was just like, luckily, the hard shoulder was kind of big around that area. But, like, even when I'm sitting there, like, waiting for the AA, and, like, every car that goes by is like, vroom, vroom. Like, the whole car rattles every time a car goes by.
Oh, God.
It's like, there's a car passing, like, every second, you know? So you're just like,
oh, God.
So it's a bit of an ordeal.
Fucking cars, huh?
Do you know what? And do you know what the annoying thing is? Is that it's still worth it, you know? Yeah. As annoying, and they are fucking annoying and fucking expensive, it's still worth it. That's even more annoying.
I just started back up my lessons.
Oh, yeah?
And I had to, whatever, we couldn't get it work. The week that I was supposed to do it, would have been four paddies.
Yeah.
And we had to postpone it. So I was like, oh, next week though, don't worry, like, I'll be back in a second. And then I had to, like, the voice note them, because I'd never be able to fucking, we're not on a voice note.
Generation?
No, but we're not on a, you know.
Oh, terms.
Yeah, we're not on voice note terms, we're on text terms.
Of course.
So I had to voice note him because I was like,
new medium, just out of the blue.
He hasn't written back to me, so.
Didn't appreciate your voice note pal.
So.
Do you know what I have to say? So you have to reschedule that and do your, is it your last batch?
I've done my 12, I just need more. Okay. You know what I mean? Like
a refresher.
Yeah, because, like, I've done my 12 at the back end of.
Yeah.
September or something. So when I got back with your man, the first one, he was like, that's pretty good for not being on the road for 6 months.
Do your car stuff and then come to Arklow and go to the movies with me. so we can watch Late Night with the Devil or something like that. That's what I really want to see. And Kerry can't fucking, doesn't...
It's going to be on VOD in April.
Is it? Okay, yeah, great. So like, do you know what restores my faith in humanity, though, with cars? Car lingo, I know I've talked about it before, but like, cars can bring out the best and the worst, I feel, in you. But other cars flashing you to say there's a checkpoint up ahead, I think, is the soundest move that you can make.
It's, humanity is not, you know, it's still going.
Every time I see that, I'm so filled with gratitude. And I'm like, yes. And then the next car,
you gotta pay it forward.
And then I had the satisfaction of noticing there was one on that side. So when I was driving on the motorway and I seen there was a bit of a gap, because I don't want the car in front of me to be like, what the fuck's he flashing at? So I leave a bit of a gap, and then I just gave the old, just so they know. And sometimes they even thank you back with a little flash. Cheers. It's fucking great. I love it. I love any sort of car lingo. Any sort of like, thank you with the hazards.
It's like a brotherhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like sketch, but for adults, you know.
Well, the hazards thing is like, as I got older, I'm like, wouldn't your man flash his, you let him in there, wouldn't he give you the, you know, the thank you?
Thanks.
I was like, my dad would be like, it doesn't matter. And I'd be like, well, fuck that guy. Like,
do you know what I noticed? That people my age, like, particularly if I'm on a road where I have to pull in for a sec to let them pass, people my age will give you the little thanks, like, thanks for waiting for me.
Hand or light?
Hand or light. Well, if it's dark, light.
I've noticed.
If it's bright, hand.
I've noticed since we've moved to Wicklow, everybody does the hand.
Yeah.
As a passenger, I'm doing the hand now as well. Yeah.
The hand is good, but in the dark, that, you can't see it.
In Dublin, though. It was never.
You know what I find, boomers don't do it.
Pricks.
Yeah. They're just like, yeah, yes, that is correct. You do wait for me. I've done my time. People my age. But then I'd say they do it to each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But people my age give. Anyway, that's.
Yeah, you haven't got clearance.
Yeah, you know? But yeah, that's it.
Anything you've been watching, anything or anything lately?
Have I? I was watching the thing you sent me. The Rock. He's fucking. I mean, now look. Even you have to admit, Terry.
You know what? I thought it was good. He showed up and he beat up Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And there was something that wasn't sitting right with me as I was watching it. I was like, what is it that is like, because everybody's like, this is amazing. And and then somebody, I sent it on to you today. So it's like 5 minutes of The Rock beating up Cody Rhodes. It's like, it's his first kind of, getting his hands dirty.
Yeah.
Because I've been unimpressed with him since he's been back. And I was like,
do you feel like you're the only one?
I feel a little bit like.
Everyone he talked to, like, I see Tony talking about it, me and Andy were like, oh, he's been great. Like,
I feel like I'm taking kind of crazy pills here. Like,
you have had major priors with Dwayne Johnson.
But I hold him to a high standard as well. Like, though, like 10 years ago, like, I thought he was good. And then, like, I look back and I'm like, I don't actually agree with what he was saying, but he was bringing energy and he was bringing new stuff, and I just don't think he's bringing anything new.
But now, surely.
Well, not really, though, because so the clip was him. He's like, look at you. Look at him. Look at him. And then, like, somebody's like, The Rock beating up Cody Rhodes, but it's just him saying, and he's like, he says it like 50 times in like, and the clip is a minute. I'm like, oh, he doesn't know what to say.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to say. And he's like, look at you. Hey, look at him.
Do you know what?
Mama Rhodes, look at your boy.
The idea that it was the best ending segment
is
of all time
insane.
Is crazy. Because it's like, yeah, The Rock was good in it. But I was kind of watching it. And I, the biggest Rock mark, like, was kind of like, oh, is that it? Like, he's really just throwing him into a wall for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like,
whip him with the belt. Choke him with the belt.
Give him, put the foots to him or something.
Do something. Throw him through a pane of glass. You know, something like that. Like, people are like, oh, he was swearing.
Pane of glass, yeah. And the
pane
swearing
of glass would have been good.
Pane of glass would have been brilliant. And I noticed they're doing glass a lot more these days.
Well, I tell
spots.
You, they did a thing in AEW. Did you? I sent it on to fucking hell. Like, it's Sting's last match ever. And Darby Allin, who was supposed to go climb Mount Everest recently. And he was like, this could be my last wrestling match ever. Broke his ankle in that match.
Right.
So he can't climb Mount Everest. And I'm like, that's actually pretty good, because he probably could have died climbing Mount Everest. He's a whippet of a man.
Yes.
But he did like a Jeff Hardy swan.
There's something about the glass smashing.
Through the glass. Like, through the glass, and then he was gone for the rest of the match.
Yeah.
And he came back, and you see him taped up, and it's like 100 holes, like glass cut into him, and like JR is on commentary, and he's not doing that. Like, oh my god, he's like, I can't believe what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
Oh my god, get him out of here! And like he comes back, and he's taped up, and the blood is just seeping through the tape. Like, I'm like, you should be in a hot. What are you doing?
I
like,
know.
And it's,
I've seen now since then a few indie spots like that, and people are like, all this for a hot dog and a Coke.
Hot dog and a Coke. Yeah. There you go. And 5 free tokens. Yeah. But I don't
Thank
know.
You.
Like, I am interested in WrestleMania, the main event now, to be honest. Like, I'm interested.
Is it The Rock and Cody Rhodes?
The first night is Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, if Cody and Seth win, then there's no interference from any of the Bloodline, which is all Roman's cronies.
Right.
On the second night. If Roman...
In what match?
It's Cody versus Roman for the title. Like,
oh, okay.
He's had the belt for like 3 or 4 years now, Roman. So like,
so it is Cody versus Roman now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But The Rock is doing like the tag match on night one of WrestleMania.
Okay.
And then night two is the title match. And if Rock and Roman Reigns win the tag match, it's like Bloodline rules, which I don't know what that means.
Mm.
But they're also saying, because like there's been rumors going around that like John Cena and Stone Cold are like potentially being lined up.
Is that why they had a very carefully placed...
That's, people are saying that, like, look in the background.
Picture, background. It's like,
oh,
it just
John
had
Cena
and Austin.
And so a lot of people are predicting that it'll be like, you know, some, if it's Bloodline rules and
they'll
come
back.
Yeah,
to
and it'll be like massive pops.
That would
like,
be fucking epic.
Wouldn't make any sense though.
No,
like, why would Stone Cold Steve Austin show up like
against The Rock, his old nemesis?
They haven't had any conversations in fucking years.
Yeah,
John Cena, I understand.
Yeah.
John Cena, I understand. Because he came back and he's like, I'm gonna take those titles off you, Roman, and didn't.
Yeah,
and that was like the whole thing. Like, he beat Lesnar, he beat Cena, he's beat everyone. The only person he hasn't beaten is The Rock, and that'll probably be next year's Mania main event, you know.
At least The Rock has got you somewhat excited.
Yeah,
where you wouldn't have been at all last month.
No, I even the promos though, like, I just haven't been. And these like 20 minute Twitter videos, I'm like, I don't have it in me for 20 minutes. I'm sorry, like, I don't have of you just talking to the camera, repeating yourself ad nauseum.
That's the thing.
And here's the thing. And he's almost taking the Triple H. Here's the thing.
See, here's the thing.
Like, absolutely the opposite happens.
Absolutely not the thing.
Yeah.
Now, do anything else? Do you want to get into the movie, Terry?
Sure. You know what? I left you on quite the cliffhanger by postponing the pod last week, so I don't want to leave you hanging anymore.
Oh,
please, I don't want to die.
You're not gonna die.
No, don't let me fall.
Matheson has been transferred from the Denver office to Frisco, and as a professional courtesy between offices, I was asked if he could hitch a ride.
Got plenty of room. Be glad to accommodate you.
Rich got an emergency call at 5 climbers just ran off Combe Left.
I haven't climbed in months. You just lose the feel.
Maybe you mean the nerve.
Where's the helicopter?
What the hell's going on?
What are your names?
Tucker and Walker.
Well, Tucker and Walker, we're missing 3 bags.
What's in them?
None of your fucking business! Fudge!
Where is the money?
That was a trailer for 1993's Cliffhanger, directed by Rennie Harlan, written and starring Sylvester Stallone. Andy.
Yeah?
Care to take a stab at the budget of this bad boy?
The budget, I will say, 30 mil.
70 mil.
Fuck hell.
Yeah. Yowza. Domestic opening.
35 million.
16 million.
Whoa.
You say that. Domestic total.
70 million.
84.
Nah, no. I don't have it.
Worldwide?
195.
Now, it is... Sorry.
Come on. Come on!
Hold on, fucking... Don't God, worry. My hand!
Terry's just dealing with the technology.
God!
Bad hand. We're witnessing in real time how this meltdown is affecting him.
In the meantime, folks, it is 200 and something.
Give it to me.
No,
I said 195.
195, you're saying?
That's what I said.
Okay, so we are going to say it is 255.
Are we going to say that, or is that what it
That's
is?
That's what it is.
Okay.
So you don't get it.
Hang on a sec. Okay?
Yeah?
Just hold on a sec.
Yeah.
What was the worldwide total sales for Cliffhanger?
You asking Siri, you son of a bitch?
The worldwide total sales for Cliffhanger were around $300 million.
Oh, Andy! Ooh. Even further away. 255 Box Office Mojo has it on.
That was ChatGPT.
Oh, get that shit out of here.
It's here, baby.
Rotten Tomatoes.
ChatGPT. No, never mind. 71.
68.
He's back, baby.
Audience?
62.
52.
Ooh.
One out of six.
Getting anyone is good.
Yeah, it's not what you say.
Within 10%.
At least he said 10%.
Yeah, within 10% is good.
Okay. So, a bit of background on this movie.
Please.
Now, you're going to have to, again, bear with me.
Absolutely not.
I'm going to start off with a fun fact.
Hey, my style.
It was my style. did you know this holds the world record for most expensive stunt ever?
Which one?
Now, very interesting. When they fly from two planes, you know, with the money?
Yeah.
And the money gets dropped over the Rockies or whatever?
Yeah.
But the Treasury Department, the bald guy, he goes ahead of the money? That right. was an actual stuntman that did that. And it cost $1 million to pull off that.
Whoa.
His name is Simon Crane.
Okay.
And he crossed between two planes at an altitude of 15,000 feet. Most of the film was shot in Europe, but they would not permit them to do that. It's not legal. So they went back to the States where it was...
Vegas.
to do it. But I think that's crazy. Wow. He was paid $1 million to do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, I'm watching it. It's like some of the stuff in this, I'm like, wow, that looks real. And it's like... That's it a set.
Is. Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine. I don't actually mind that. But like, the bit at the start, some of the aerial shots at the start of this, I'm like, wow, that's really impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like when I was watching that, I was like, do you think they really filmed that in Atlanta?
Do you know where they, what country they actually, it was like the Alps or something?
I think it was Italy. Let me see. Shot on Monte Cristallo in the Via Ferrata, Via Ivano de Bona.
Good accent.
Thank you. In the Dolomites in Corte d'Ampezzo, Italy.
Oh, okay.
Throwing a lot of words at you there, huh?
Well, that one done, sir.
So, I'll give you a bit of background on where Stallone is in his career.
Please.
He had just done, in his words, the worst film of his career, 1992's Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, which I don't know.
I remember that being shit as a kid. I don't remember anything about it, but I remember not liking it.
He... was tricked into doing it. This is the funniest thing about it. Apparently, Schwarzenegger was going around town telling everybody that he's got this script and he's going to do this new movie with, you know, it's not Estelle Harris, one of the Golden Girls. And he was like, this is the thing. And like Stallone then was like, okay, go get me this script. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I want to do this. And
yeah.
It was part of their kind of like, because Schwarzenegger had just done Terminator.
Yeah.
Like, and Schwarzenegger is the bigger star at this point.
Yeah.
Even though, if you looked at Stallone's box office.
Yeah, he would probably have him beat. But
yeah, yeah. But like,
Schwarzenegger's on the up.
He's done Predator. He's done first Terminator. He's done T2, Kindergarten Cop. Like, you know, big hits there.
The highest, really.
Well, T2 is like the biggest movie of all time at this stage. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well.
So, Stallone has said he was tricked into doing it, but which I think is fucking crazy.
And that's so Arnie as well.
Yeah,
like,
that's psychological warfare. Yeah, like, he would do nice shit calves. In the gym. Like,
yeah.
But at this point, like this same year, Arnie has Last Action Hero coming out, and this comes out, and this eats its lunch. Like, Last Action Hero
flopped, didn't it?
It was a budget of $80 million. It grossed like 50 or 60 in the States.
Wow.
And like 120, you know, they lost right. money on it. They took a write off
right.
on it.
And what did you think of that movie back in the day?
I didn't like it back in the day. I watched it during the pandemic, and I actually thought it was pretty good. Like,
I like it. Yeah.
I mean, I like it. I think it's weird because I love John McTiernan. Like
No,
the director. Who okay. He did like Die Hard,
right,
Predator,
right.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Ooh.
like his first three movies, or his first four movies. There's some movie called Nomads, which I've never heard of. And then it's Predator, Die Hard, and Hunt for Red October.
Right.
Excuse me. Three classics.
Yeah.
And then he did a weird movie with Sean Connery, and then Last Action Hero.
Mm.
And like Last Action Hero is quite good, but I think it would be better if it wasn't McTiernan directing it, because it's almost like he's too close,
right?
Because he's like sending up the movies that he right. made his name on, you know what
okay,
I mean, like,
yeah,
and the fact
yeah.
that, you know, with Schwarzenegger that he did Predator with, it's a really like,
that's one that like me and Tony quote quite a bit even as kids, of like, do you remember when the bad guy goes into the real world,
Charles Dance,
yeah, yeah. and then like they see someone get attacked and like, get his shoes mm-hmm. and he's like, take his shoes, like he doesn't know. And then like so we always do that whenever they're mm-hmm. to do his shoes, like, take his shoes. Or then the line where he's like, I've just shot a man, I've done it on purpose. You know, and nobody cares, like
But that's a fascinating thing about that movie as well, is that like he realizes, oh, bad guys can win in
yeah,
the real world.
In this world,
you know?
I like that angle.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of goes up to the line and then doesn't commit, you know? And it's like,
what could have been?
Yeah, you know? And then, but then if you think about it, the movies that come, like something like Wreck-It Ralph,
yeah.
which is like a perfect, like oh, this is how you do a better version of it.
Yeah.
You take computer games.
Yeah.
Like there's no, say Wreck-It Ralph, when it's nighttime and they all go hang out with each other.
Yeah.
Like what happens in the movie?
Yeah.
When
yeah.
people don't watch the movie,
yeah.
does the movie just keep going?
Yeah.
Or do they all
yeah.
go hang out with that police precinct?
It's interesting.
With Danny DeVito as the cat?
Oh yeah, of course.
Of course. So the production background
Marshall
in this.
Marshall Talmadge. Yeah, go on.
Stallone. Excuse me.
Stop coughing, yeah.
I'm trying to. He had originally signed on with Carolco Pictures Ooh. To appear opposite John Candy in a comedy about feuding neighbors oh. called Bartholomew versus Neff.
Stallone did.
Yeah.
Oh, they should have done that.
Well, like, this is how he got involved with Carolco. And that project was dropped. John Hughes was going to write and direct it.
Oh.
I know.
Oh.
But he signed on for a couple of different ones with Carolco because they were going to pay him a shit ton of money.
That's Stallone, all right.
Yeah, but it's like these, like, it's Cannon and Carolco where he's like, we don't have the money, but we have the ambition.
Right.
And we'll get the money, don't worry. Like, and right. they never, like, I think Carolco went out of business pretty soon after this.
Right.
Excuse me.
Excuse him, folks.
So the first one that he signed on for, this, I thought this is quite good. It was about a futuristic science fiction horror film called Isobar, about a genetically created monster who breaks free on a high-speed runaway train.
Oh, my God.
Didn't go anywhere, surprisingly. The second one that he signed on for, which was called Gale Force, described as Die Hard in a Hurricane, which I found very interesting because this movie reminded me a lot of Die Hard.
Yeah.
And Rennie Harlan, the director, directed Die Hard 2.
Worst one.
No.
Well,
the third
modern ones.
The third best one. Of the original trilogy, the lowest.
Yeah.
Of it. But still, pretty fun. Which was going to see Stallone play an ex-Navy SEAL who has to fight against a group of modern pirates who attack a coastal town during a large hurricane. Rennie Harlan was signed on to direct as well. You might have to maybe cut a few, chop it up a little bit.
Cutting anything.
Carolco paid Harlan $3 million to direct this movie and ultimately fell apart. But he said he was going to hang on to do another project for them in good faith. And between 1990 and 91, they're working on different versions of this, and eventually it morphed into Cliffhanger.
Right.
Joe Esterhaz was paid $500,000 to write a finished version of Cliffhanger. Yeah. And Carolco, believing the intended budget was too big, unable to figure out how to get the special effects for it, basically that's how they cancelled Gale Force.
Right.
And then they said, we'll turn it into Cliffhanger. Cost $70 million. So it gives you an idea of what this company is like. It's like, no, $40 million is too much. And then
so let's go $70 million.
And then a year later, it's like, well, the project that we thought was too much, we actually end up...
We need double.
Yeah, pretty much.
Stupid.
Before production began, mm-hmm. Stallone rewrote the script.
Weird.
not like him. So much so that Carolco petitioned the Writers Guild of America to get him credit, which obviously happened because it is written by, I think it's like Michael France and Sylvester Stallone are the writers.
Oh, right.
But, you know, Stallone, he gets
how does
it?
He get, like, he it's gets, not like he's, you know, he's done
he's
well
an
enough.
He's an artist, Andy.
Yeah, but it's not like he'd be like, we need Stallone to write this.
No, but it's like, once you get him involved,
he'll
like,
worm his way in the cracks of the production.
Now, there was a few bits in this because, like, it went over budget.
Yeah.
So, Stallone was going to be paid $15 million. He forgo $2 million of his salary, he said. Because production was shut down twice because Carolco could not afford to pay the crew. He does seem like he's a bit of an egomaniac, but he also is like, you know what, I'll push this boulder up the hill.
Yeah.
Again, I feel weird saying this, but like, he does remind me, like, young Stallone, it kind of reminds me of like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
In that, like, he has these like weird producing mega powers that he will...
You may question his methods, but it's like...
And I question his integrity as well, quite a bit. But
he'll get the project finished.
Pretty much. Yeah, like, yeah. I think there's... he was willing to pay some of that $1 million stunt fee for your man as well. Right. He said, basically, there's a director's cut of this film that it was met with a lot of disapproval because the stunts were absurdly overblown. There was an example where he has to jump across a ridge that was in the trailer. I remember seeing it in the trailer, and the ridge is like 40 feet. And they just hadn't done it, and it was met with like comical laughs. They basically said...
Supposed to jump the whole jump over.
Yeah, yeah. And then they cut that down. He said basically we couldn't include that. So I think that's the point in the film where it's like him and the girl split up.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes down one trail and he works his way around. Like in the director's cut, it's him jumping over this giant ridge. Yeesh. But and he seems to be like, the end of that quote is, by the way, the second unit crew that filmed that stunt, they were extraordinary. So he's like, he's a worker. He knows how to like say the right things.
He plays the game.
Yeah.
He does the dance.
This was the one I was looking forward to the most.
Oh, was it?
To be honest, because I hadn't seen it in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember the trailer. The trailer's iconic.
Yeah.
The trailer is basically the opening.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I can't wait to see this again.
I've seen it in the cinema, actually.
Did you?
When it came out. Yeah,
I think it was like Video Scene.
Yeah.
And the game I got from Video Scene.
Maybe it wasn't the cinema then. Maybe it was Video Scene.
I mean, 93, you would have been 8.
Wouldn't have got in, would I?
Don't know, but it was weird back then. If you went with a parent, like, you know.
You could see whatever. I remember I went to see Sleepers with my mom.
Sleepers or Sneakers?
Sneakers.
Okay, yeah, Sleepers is different.
I don't know.
A bunch of fucking young men that have been
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Abused by Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah. Sneakers. That's the one. Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd. Yeah. Mother. I watched that during lockdown as well.
How was that?
It's okay. It's okay. I'd never seen it before. And I heard lots of people talking about it being a classic.
Well,
it's so fine. It's a fine movie.
Well, let's talk about this one.
What did you think?
I thought it was crap.
Did you? Yeah. Oh,
I thought it was fucking shite. I was laughing at it.
I thought it was fun.
I didn't even think that. I thought
you can't tell me you thought Tango and Cash was better than this.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, Andy.
I did. It was more fun. I mean, it was stupider by a hair, but it was more fun. This was like, you know what? The cast in this was good.
There's so many that guys in it.
Yeah,
Stallone is weird in this.
The acting in this is out of control.
I mean, Lithgow is bringing the heat. Like he is, he is throwing 90-mile-an-hour fastballs in this movie. Like,
I was like, I have very, very few notes, but I said there's some good actors in this, all giving the worst performances of their respective careers.
I disagree, especially with Lithgow.
Lithgow is a caricature.
He's fucking brilliant in it, though. Like.
I like, you know what? By the end, I thought was better than the start or middle. You know what I mean?
The middle kind of sag.
The intro was great.
The intro is probably the best 12 minutes of Rennie Harlan's career, I would say. Like, and I think he's pretty decent. Like, Rennie Harlan has done some good stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, that... I was captivated by just the switching between, you know... Like, I'm like, you see Stallone or whoever hanging out, and you're like, oh, yeah. And then it's like... Oh wait, he's under the rock that they're sitting on. Like, cool. You know,
very, very TC as well.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Very like Mission Impossible 2. Yeah, you know what right. I mean? Like,
I thought like, oh, I. You know what?
He's bad in this though. This is like,
yeah, he's bad. And
this is his second worst performance. I would have down.
And I think
that we've done so far.
Yeah.
I think Tango and Cash is his worst performance.
I would possibly put this worst. Because I'm like, who am I rooting for in this movie? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
He's like, too sad or something.
Yeah. Like, I didn't care about any of the characters in this movie. I wasn't rooting. You know who I was rooting for? The black guy. The fucking...
Leon.
Yeah. He was fucking brilliant.
That. He's good. He's good. I don't like him.
He was giving me something.
I mean, his character doesn't really make sense.
No, it doesn't. None of it makes sense.
He's bringing energy. I'll give you that. The bad guys are bringing the energy, though. Because you
they
have
are,
man,
the bad guys.
Your man from, I don't know if it's Dream Team or EastEnders, the British guy.
I can't remember. It was 2 weeks ago since I've seen it, so it's practically a year ago.
You should have watched it again.
Never. But you know what? I noticed it was like, you have these snowy mountains or whatever.
Great idea.
And then it would cut to a close up, and it's like, set. Yeah. You know, they're practically tropical here. Like, you know, it's like those old sketches where it's like it shows like a football match, and then you just it cuts to like a studio. Like, hey, so anyway, I was saying, you know, like that's just cheaply. Like, you're clearly not there. And you know what? Like, there's nothing worse. Like, it's been a while, to be fair, since we've been doing the pod. Since I've had this feeling of like, there's nothing worse than knowing that you're like 45 minutes in. And you're looking and
you're
I'm like...
You're pot committed.
And I'm like, I just have to now sit here and watch it. I would love there to be a rule, Terry.
No
for there
rule.
To be like,
no.
You know what?
No.
And
you can't hit the eject button.
But why? If I know...
You don't know.
You know.
No.
Yeah, of course.
By the end, because I was feeling the same way. I was like...
Yeah, what did you think of it?
I was like, this is kind of bad.
Yeah.
And then by the end, I was like, you know what? It's a fun... Good little movie.
There were some fun bits towards the end.
Yeah,
but
the middle side, like...
Oh, big time. This did not need to be 2 hours like, long or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was 153.
Yeah.
You could have made it like a 95.
Easy.
And...
With some fat on it.
Yeah, like, there's too much of like...
Enough of your feelings.
Weirdly enough, it's like, yeah, enough of your feelings. Or like, you have to be more efficient with that stuff.
Stop moping.
Yeah, he's too sad.
Moping around this.
And like, the guy, like Michael Rooker, when you see him after, so like, if you haven't watched Cliffhanger in a while, the opening is amazing.
Yeah.
In that Michael Rooker and his girlfriend that can't climb cliffs.
Yeah.
For some reason.
What's she doing up there?
He's brought her to the highest peak in the Colorado mountains. and Stallone has to come and get them, and he's able to get Michael Rooker on the zipline across, no problem. And then he's getting the girlfriend over, who's very nervous. And I think Stallone's actually really good in that scene. Yeah. He's locked in. He's like, look at me. You're doing great. Just keep going across. And then her harness breaks. And they actually had to like put a disclaimer in saying the blue diamond harness or whatever was purposely tampered with for the production of this movie. It would never break. You know? Because they'd be messing with a brand or whatever.
Why do they have to have any brand on it?
I don't know. But anyway,
avoid showing the brand name. Like.
But they probably pay the money. That's how financing these movies work. So Stallone goes out onto the rope and he grabs a hold of her arm, and then her hand slips through the glove or whatever, and she falls to her death.
Yeah,
and it's Michael Rooker's girlfriend. The next time you see him, he's laughing and a joking with his. Yeah. It's only 8 months.
Yeah,
it should be longer.
Yeah,
in my opinion, and. He's laughing and joking at his boss doing a painting. I'm like,
oh, he's just moved on.
Yeah. Stallone is like, oh my God, I had to move to the city and go work.
Yeah.
Hey, yo. And then his girlfriend, just up and left his girlfriend, his partner, and like
this is the thing. It was, I thought the premise.
Good premise.
But I thought that the whole story, I thought the story wasn't good. Do you know what I mean?
I disagree.
I didn't. I was just bored. I was bored with it.
But it's like,
and the acting was outrageous. It was, they were all hamming it up.
You understand what I'm talking about? That it is like Die Hard.
I don't even think Die Hard is as hammy as
I know. It's a worse version of Die Hard. It's Die Hard on a cliff. You know what I mean?
It was Die Hard but boring.
Yes, because you don't have. The secret sauce about Die Hard is John McClane is like any
of us. He's an everyman.
Yeah, and he's like talking to himself.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I can't fucking believe this.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What am I having to get myself into? None of that from Stallone.
No, that's
just too sad.
I feel like this movie could have been better if Stallone wasn't involved in it. If Stallone didn't come in and rewrite again. If he didn't. Like, I don't, so far, I am not thinking that Stallone is a good actor. Based on the, purely on the movies that I've seen.
But he's not really, like.
But like.
Like, Rocky is.
I don't know if I want, after this, to pick an actor again. Because I get too, like, another, like, you can't avoid him. Like, at least with directors, you'd be like, all right, different actors, different story, let's go. Like, here's another Stallone movie again.
But, okay, so if you think about it. When we did Gosling, lots of flavors of Gosling. This is fucking like the Nice Guys.
What do you mean?
Remember the Nice Guys where he's like trying to break into the door? Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, that's a lot of blood.
It won't be around.
Little Ryan Gosling sitting across from you, but you got to see
the range.
You got to see romantic Gosling, funny Gosling.
Yeah, when do I get to see anything other than Stallone?
You get to see Demolition Man is kind of
Demolition Man. I like that.
It's gonna be right in your alley.
I haven't seen it in years as well.
And then you're gonna see Copland.
The rest of the '90s Stallone.
No, because the rest of the '90s Stallone is like sorry.
You know, I think that'll be fine.
And then Creed, you'll get to see it in Creed. Creed is possibly his best performance.
I would like him to.
We're skipping ahead.
Good.
15 years. It goes from 97 to like 2012. Because
I would like to see a movie where Stallone is not playing Sylvester Stallone in a movie. You know what I mean?
I mean, Copland is that.
He could walk right off the set of Rocky into First Blood, into Rocky IV.
I disagree.
Into Cliffhanger be the same character.
I can't maybe think Rocky IV. To Tango and Cash, to Cliffhanger, to, you know, I agree with you there. But, I don't know, like, I thought it was a real, like, who's who of that guy's in
the
movie.
Yeah.
There was so many good.
One of the guys, your man got killed mad early. You know, the guy's like, wipe that smirk off your face. You know, like that guy that you're always.
Bruce McGill. Bruce McGill.
Like, and I was thinking, like, oh, good, he's in it. And then, like, he's dead immediately. But
the guy who played the Treasury agent. The bald guy who's like, damn it, Walker.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he is in, like, CSI. I think he's in, like, Better Call Saul as a recurring character. I'm like, That guy's a fucking solid actor. He'll give you everybody that was, bar the stars.
Yeah.
Like everybody who's below the line in this movie is giving you
yeah.
the best stuff.
Yeah.
And Lithgow.
Yeah.
And can we talk about Lithgow?
Yeah,
for
Lithgow.
A bit?
Lithgow
he's
was
fucking
great.
Good.
Lithgow
man.
Was good. I like
he's
Lithgow.
So good in it. Like,
but it was just, it was like a.
Like this is, he converts this energy into comedy in Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
Like this kind of like. And he'd been on a run of playing like weirdos. I don't know if you ever seen like Raising Kane.
No.
He plays like somebody with like schizophrenia or like right. personality disorder. Or there's a great movie called Blowout where he plays like an assassin trying to like get John Travolta. But he's terrifying because he's like...
Is he English or is he American?
He's American, but yeah. like he plays English.
Yeah,
quite a bit. Like he won an Emmy for playing Churchill in The Crown. Like,
oh, was he in The Crown?
Oh. First season, I think. First two seasons. I drift in and out with that. Faye watches it.
Yeah,
an awful lot. And
I thought he was
he's hamming it up.
At the start, I was like, oh, even Lithgow was hamming it up. But then by the end,
I liked how it ended with him as well, where you know. And the end is very much Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You're getting a lot of that vibe.
Yeah, I definitely got Mission Impossible vibe off this. But you know what? It's hard because one, I didn't like it, and two, I watched it 2 weeks ago. So
put it this way: you don't. At least you don't own the Blu-ray.
Thank God.
You I own it. I watched it. It looked great.
Let me ask you this: are you ever going to watch Cliffhanger ever again?
Maybe. Maybe I'll show Bonnie.
No, you want to show her good movies, so she'll like movies. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, ease
her in.
Yeah, I mean, this would be one to be like, hey, Trash Movie Tuesday, okay. Dad's picked the movie.
Yeah,
it's Cliffhanger.
Yeah, do you know what? I kind of had a feeling, because I saw Cliffhanger when I was a kid, and I remember thinking it was boring then.
I just remember people talking about it, people giving it, this is what Twitter is kind of, good and bad for the reappraisal
yeah.
of like Cliffhanger is actually good. And yeah. I remember being like, well, Cliffhanger is not one of his good movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like I bought the box set with like
yeah.
First Blood, Cliffhanger, Lock Up. I don't know, whatever, 10 quid or 12 quid. But it was like, this could be a good one if we ever do Stallone because he's an interesting guy. You know,
I mean, he's an interesting guy.
He's an interesting career, though.
I've yet to see him be interesting on screen.
What about? I mean, Rocky IV. He said it was the greatest movie you've ever seen.
Yeah, but it's kind of in spite of him. The movie's happening all around him.
He directs it though.
Yeah,
he directs the shit.
He's
out
like
of that
third
movie.
Or fourth yeah. lead in Rocky IV. Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know how much else. What else I can say about Cliffhanger? I mean.
Come out a few of the set pieces.
Go on then.
Right.
Go on then.
So the stunt, the plane stunt, excellent.
Yeah.
The opening stunt, excellent.
Yeah, that was good.
Kind of goes down a little bit then.
A lot of good falls in this. People just fall into the blackness in this movie.
Fucking scary. Like,
yeah, some of them, like, so they proper fall in this movie where you see them just go out of
the first death of the bad guys is at night. And I think he they're both sliding down the cliff.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Stallone is on his back, I think, or... What, Gabe? Is that his name? Gabe Walker?
I don't know. Yeah.
And, like, he's able to, like, put his axe.
Yeah.
And then your man just goes...
Yeah.
One of the cronies. Again, the whole scene with the bats, I thought was quite...
Yeah.
I wouldn't like that at all, like...
I thought they overreacted a bit, to be honest. Just bats.
You don't like it. Just bats. You don't like flies.
Yeah, but I'd almost take. I would take bats over flies.
No.
Yeah.
What?
If there was a million flies buzzing all around me, I would find that way worse than
a million bats.
Well, 1,000 bats.
No.
Because bats are bigger. Like you could just.
Bats will eat you.
No, they don't. They won't eat you.
Yeah, they do.
Ah, they don't eat you. They're not interested in that. They're interested in like fucking fruit and shit.
If Ace Ventura. Can't stand the bat.
Who are you?
Yeah. Who listen to you?
I'm a batsman. I am Batman. I have to go.
I taught your man Leon when they're fighting. Like, cause they take. Here's the problem with it. They take too long for Stallone to get
Stallone-y.
Into the action.
Yeah.
Like, and they kind of just say, they throw away like, oh, you were in Vietnam. I'm like, I need to know, like,
what happened?
Like, perfect example, like Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
There's a scene in that movie where it's like, oh, this guy's like an analyst, huh? And Alec Baldwin goes to bed, and the two guys are like, yeah, he's an analyst, but he was a Marine. He had 3 of his 4 years, and then he got injured and was in a bed for 8 months, but he finished his fourth year anyway, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, there you go. If he ever needs...
your angle.
If he's called into action, we know he's capable.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's in Vietnam or some shit?
And he's like, yeah, you did a tour in Vietnam, and you're a good climber. And then he starts fucking MacGyvering all over the place, and you're like, all right, like, you know, you haven't built him up to be...
I'm very curious to know where this ranks in your list. Probably, I'm guessing you'd have it above Tango and Cash, but...
It's, out of 5, it's 4 at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah. Do you have 1, 2, and 3 way up here, and then 4 and 5 way down here?
If you look at my ratings, like... Rocky is a 9.5. First Blood is a 9.5. Rocky 4 is an 8.
First Blood, 9.5.
First Blood's amazing, Andy. Or maybe I gave it a 9. I don't know. But it's like, it's fucking amazing.
What did you have then?
And then Rocky 4 is like an 8.
That should be a 10.
No, that's a... Oh. It's trash. It's good trash, but it's trash. Like. And then Tango and Cash is a 5. I'm going to give this like a 6.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this a 6. Because like, it's not fun enough...
To be
like close to the Rocky IV range.
It's like I'm so bored by the time the action starts that I'm kind of like,
yeah, it needs to be shorter.
I checked out long ago, so
that's what it was. I was like, oh, it's kind of winning me back. It's like, if only they lopped 20 minutes off that, then I wouldn't have been gone.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, but I did like it was a strong finish to it, like, because
better than this,
you know. And the bit with the bunny where they're like trying to find the money. There's a thing that actually doesn't make sense, though, because they have this whole coordinates thing that has a key lock or whatever like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's like 15,000 combinations.
Yeah.
Only I know them. But then Stallone is able to be like, the money's over there. And like, they never really explain how he knows.
Sly, we have some questions about the latest
script. It's over
there. You're fired.
Yeah. Give me another guy.
I'll get someone who doesn't ask so many questions, huh?
And then, you know, line reading. There was something that John Lithgow says, like, the things we do for love, and like shoots you one in the chest, the pilot. And then he's like, now I'm the only pilot.
Yeah.
He shoots in the helicopter. He's like, go get the money. I'm staying here. He's basically Stewie Griffin.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Seth MacFarlane based Stewie Griffin on John Lithgow in Cliffhanger.
Yeah, I could see that totally.
So what are you going to give it?
I'd give it a 5. You know,
it was pretty good for you. Like,
yeah, I just thought at the end I had some good bits. There was one or two bits that were okay, but overall I was bored. I hate having to sit through fucking stupid. You know what I mean? I don't mind if it's fun, stupid, like Rocky IV. But like I was saying, just the idea of like, I'm in prison. For another hour and 45 minutes, when I would love to be doing other things, I am in prison.
But can I ask you?
Yeah.
Is it because you're like, this is an action movie and there's no action?
No, I didn't actually... I couldn't remember enough about it to know what it was supposed to be. I figure if Stallone's in it, there's going to be a little bit, but I'm not even sitting there going like, where's the action?
Okay, so it's just you're not engrossed at all.
I wasn't engrossed. I didn't care about any of the characters. I thought, like, they all gave bad acting performances, barring a few exceptions.
Like, say There Will Be Blood, which is like methodical enough movie.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're...
Captivated.
So no, it's not just...
It doesn't have to be
because
balls
it's not
to the
action,
wall,
yeah, yeah.
Michael Bay action or anything like that. Like, it can
some
be...
motherfucking nature out there. See Bad Boys 4?
I saw a trailer for it.
Bad Boys Ride Again?
Is Martin Lawrence okay?
I was
did
like,
you see him in this trailer?
He's like that
he barely
in the third
talk.
One.
Like, is something happened? Like, am I gonna...
McLaren!
Is this bad? Did something happen to him? Like,
you should watch the third one. You might like it.
Would I? I wouldn't.
They screwed it up, though. The third one is
Will
called...
Will Smith? Fuck him. I'm not watching it.
Oh. I thought enough time might have passed.
No, I'm still bitter about it.
Bad Boys for Life is the third one.
Yeah.
And then, like, what's this one called? Bad Boys Ride Again or something like that? Right?
I didn't even see Bad Boys 2.
Did you not?
No. Oof. I've only seen one. I love one, but...
Oh, Yes. Now, you keep talking there for a second.
Okay.
Why don't you let the good folks know where they can find
us? Great. So, folks, you can find us on Instagram. What's so great about Pod? You can find links to everything we do there, including two things. One, our Patreon, where for the low, low fee of a mere €5 a month, you get early access to every episode. You get two bono episodes. And you also sometimes get some video content. Oh, what you got there? It's only $5 a month. We have a loosey-goose time. There's usually not a movie review, but you get to know us a little bit better. Let's put it that way.
And we tell them what is coming this week.
On the Patreon.
Yeah.
We're back in our pop-punk heaven. And we're reviewing Terry's favourite Blink album, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
It's going to be good, because we did Enema of the State not so long ago, so it'll be a good comparison point.
My favourite, we already reviewed a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, and now we're going to be doing Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. You will also get early access to our live show. Now, it's on general sale now, of course, but had you been in there from the start, you would have been first to get tickets to our upcoming live show in May in Whelan's. And either way, it's on sale now. The link is in our bio. We would absolutely love to see you there.
The tickets are limited.
So, as I said, it's a snug, cozy little number.
That's better.
Alright,
that's better. Don't say it.
Little gig, and it's gonna.
Sometimes I feel like I'm podcasting with Vince McMahon over here.
So, pal, if you want to come and have some fun,
kisser.
But tickets are—they're only what €12 or something like that, and it's gonna
be a good time.
It's gonna be a great time. We can hang out afterwards. Tell us how much you love us. You love the show exclusively.
Have a drink.
Have a drink. Tell us again how much you love us and love the show, and
Now, Terry? If you can't afford to buy the ticket, look, I'm out of
practice.
He's
hurt his hand, guys.
Look, it's the painkiller.
Leave
him
alone.
If you can't afford the €5 a month, well, you can do me something else. You can give me a rating and a review. Now, Andy, in this movie, there are three briefcases worth $100 million that get lost. Now, I don't want a 3-star review. I want a 5-star review. And that, to me, folks, is worth way more than $100 million.
Well, that's crazy. You admit yourself that's absolutely mental, right?
Is it?
Yeah. A fucking one lousy 5-star review or $100 million.
How much I love this podcast,
wow,
mate.
Wow. I'll take the money, thanks, guys.
Otherwise...
On that note, where are we next week, Terry?
Oh, we're going to... It's same year, 1993.
Oh.
And it's a battle of behemoths with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes in 1993's Demolition Man.
Come on.
A very young Sandra Bullock and a scene-stealing Rob Schneider, shall we say?
I'm excited about this one. This one I'm excited about.
It's going to be good.
Join us then.
Yeah. Until then. Oh, wait. No, before we go. Bit of business.
Oh, okay.
Bit of business. Oh. I'm worried, Andy. Oh. I'm worried because you've been talking about watching something. And I don't want you to watch it yet.
I'm tempted, Terry.
You're talking about watching Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need to pull the cord
and
show you what our next miniseries is going to be.
Oh. Already?
Already. All right.
Sequels. Ooh. Many more Stallone bullshit movies. We got three more? Okay. So, Top Gun Maverick. Fucking yes. This is sequels.
And it's direct sequels. So, it's number two.
No threes or fours.
No.
Okay.
Number two only.
So, the next series will be sequels.
So, hold your fish on watching Top Gun, all right?
Okay.
There, it's number one. It's gonna be the first one we do on the sequel.
Okay, great.
Series.
Top Gun Maverick, Spider-Man 2. Is that Tobey Maguire? Spider-Man?
Yes, sir.
Aliens
with a dollar sign.
All right, Godfather for 2. Fucking come on, haven't seen
this.
This
is an impeachable list, by the way.
Die Hard 2. Okay,
good.
Paddington 2. I'm a fan. I've seen it a couple of times actually.
Ah, brilliant.
I like it. Doctor Sleep,
sequel to The Shining, mate.
So it's like a middle finger you're giving me.
That's Faye. She had the writer for me there today. She gave you the middle finger.
You think?
That's because I asked her to write it a bit bigger, and she went she went overboard.
And the color of money.
There's an asterisk there beside that. Okay, so that's Martin Scorsese movie with Tom Cruise and Paul Newman.
Oh.
All about the art of playing pool. But if you so Ooh. Choose, and you want to change it out, that's your choice there. Hmm. All right.
Okay. So far, I'm happy with that. Yeah. I'm happy with. I'm very happy with that.
Great.
I will happily watch.
I just had a feeling that you'd be like, "Hey, I watched Tom Cruise."
I'm
like,
I have. Been
never, I'm never going to get him to watch it again. So save it for the podcast.
All right, I'll save it. Good. Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. Shaping up for next in only a month's time. We'll be cracking onto that.
Can't wait.
Until then.
Boom.
Boom.
Doom. Doom. Doom.
All right. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Baby.